Reading Luke 18:18 through 29, the rich ruler. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come of eternal life." Thus ends the scripture reading.
Amen. Well, good morning, or afternoon, or maybe even evening for you. But I'm glad you're with us praising God today. I'm Joanne Claver, and I'm an elder here at First Presbyterian Church in Fairbanks. I'm not currently on session, but I am on the pastor search committee. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the day that the church began. With that in mind, would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Open our eyes and our hearts to the message and the lessons that you want us to learn from this passage in Luke. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Jeff read to us from the Gospel of Luke about a certain ruler who questions Jesus. He wants to inherit eternal life. This same event is reported in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and then the one read today in Luke. First of all, this ruler asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This well-to-do ruler was rich, and he wanted assurance that he would go to heaven when he died. Well, some of you know that my spiritual background, was in the Roman Catholic Church. I had 16 years of parochial school, and I was easily convinced in the first grade that I was a sinner. I also knew I wanted to go to heaven when I died, mainly because I had heard about that other place and I didn't want to be there. And I tried to be good enough, but I often failed. My vision of heaven was like a huge stadium with God down in the middle. And I hoped that when God weighed the scales of the good things I'd done and the sinful things I'd done, that the good things would come out better and I would get to go to heaven. And maybe I'd even get a seat in the very back row of that amphitheater or that stadium. Well, unlike me, this young man seemed to be convinced that he was doing everything right. Because when Jesus tells him, "You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false testimony, honor your father and your mother," the ruler said, "All these things I've done since I was a boy." Well, I guess that young man didn't have the same first grade teacher that I had. Because even though I never committed murder or adultery, I knew I had lied and I had disobeyed my parents. Jesus, however, saw the young man's heart. He said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. Wow. In the Gospel of Mark, it said that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus' heart was full of love for this rich young man, and he saw that his heart was focused on riches, which was the main thing that could keep him from eternal life. Well, several weeks ago, Jim Aldrich preached on the parable of the prodigal son. Both the prodigal son and his brother did not honor their father. They only wanted their inheritance to use when they wanted and how they wanted. But yet, the father's heart was full of love for both of them. Well, that was a parable. But here is a real live example of Jesus' heart filled with love for this rich young ruler. Jesus knew what hindered the man from eternal life, and he spoke the truth in love to him. It's kind of interesting that Jesus often spoke about money. A few chapters back in Luke, the man said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide my inheritance with me." Jesus tells him, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And Jesus follows up by saying to him, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." In the parallel passages recorded in Matthew and Mark, it reveals not only did the man become sad, but he went away. He left Jesus. For the first 35 years of my life, which I call my BC years, I also pursued other treasures. I was afraid that if I gave everything up for God, he would want me to be a nun. I was afraid of that, and I certainly didn't want to give up everything. I wanted a husband, kids, a house, and a career. Mostly, I guess I wanted to be in control. I considered myself lucky. My parents, who had always been supportive, were doing well in Colorado. I married a good-looking man with a promising career. And with our two toddler boys, we came to Alaska, bought a house, and I landed a management position in a clinic lab. However, in the space of several years, all the things that had my heart started to disintegrate. My marriage collapsed. My mom was put in a nursing home because of Alzheimer's. And within a year, my dad died of cancer. Although I still think he died of a broken heart because of his grief of having to put mom in a nursing home. And I was a physical and emotional and spiritual wreck. I tried self-help books, and I took up running, hoping to get relief with a runner's high to help me cope with all the hurt and grief. Yes, I prayed, but I felt those prayers went up to the ceiling and just stopped there. In my heart, I knew I had ignored God. I was still trying to do enough good things, like going to church on Sunday. But I didn't feel I had done enough to deserve God's attention. Then a coworker who had been healed of cancer invited me to a prayer meeting. After attending that Catholic charismatic prayer meeting, I chose to attend a seminar given by the group. The leaders of that group had something I wanted. They had peace, and they had joy, even in the midst of some pretty serious difficulties. And as the Holy Spirit nudged me, I realized that it was in God's heart to love me into his kingdom through his son, Jesus. It was at the conclusion of that seminar that I asked Jesus into my heart. And there's been no looking back. Of course I prayed that God would restore my marriage, but that was not to be. The Lord has used so many of his followers, true believers, who are in different denominations to help me have a true heart for him. His Holy Spirit knows that I'm a work in progress. Now, we don't know what happened to that rich young man and if he ever had a change of heart. He may have just dismissed what Jesus said, went his own way. Or maybe he went away to tell his accountant to liquidate everything and give the money to the poor like Jesus asked. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Jesus goes on to say that it is easier for a camel, which was the largest animal in the lives of the people of that time, to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard to get a visual of this and how impossible it would be. When we were in Israel, I heard that the eye of a needle could have been a smaller, short gate in the larger gate of the city. The large gate was closed at sundown, and if a traveler came with a fully loaded camel, after the gate was closed, he would have to use the small gate. This would mean that that traveler would have to unload this camel and push it through on its knees. This would have been an onerous task. However, a number of commentators dispute that, saying that there's no proof that a small gate was ever called an eye of the needle, and that a camel could possibly get through on its knees. Other commentators say that the word for camel in Hebrew is similar to the word for rope, and that rope could be shredded and pushed through the needle, albeit with much difficulty, but possible. If we look at the next few verses, however, we may find that this eye of a needle hyperbole was meant to be impossible because of what Jesus answered when his disciples asked, "Who then can be saved?" At that time, people thought that riches were the results of God's favor, and therefore rich people were pretty much guaranteed eternal life. In reply to their question of who then can be saved, Jesus answered, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Well, a camel could probably or possibly be pushed through the small gate, but it was impossible for it to go through the literal eye of a needle. Therefore, just as that rich man could not save himself or earn his way to heaven, neither can any of us. God has made for everyone a way to heaven or a way to eternal life. He has made the impossible possible. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one could come to the Father except by me." Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for the punishment I deserve of eternal separation from God. And Jesus proved that he is God by his resurrection from the dead. This is God's heart for everyone, his gift to us given to pay the price for our sins so that we can go to heaven. So where is your heart? God says in the Bible, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." And Jesus also has said, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." This new spirit is the Holy Spirit that was first given to the disciples at Pentecost. Well, shortly after I became a Christian, I heard a speaker say, "What does God need to do to get your attention?" I thought, "Lady, if you only knew." It took a broken heart of being rejected for me to realize that Jesus could not only give me eternal life and a beautiful relationship with him right now, but he could also heal, and he has healed, the hurts and humiliation that came with that rejection. With that huge gift of eternal life, God also gave me the power to forgive and even love those who have hurt me. God made it possible to do what was impossible on my own. Well, at the end of our text today, Peter tells Jesus, "We," and by "we" he means all the disciples, "have left all that we had to follow you." And Jesus replies, "No one who's left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive as much in this age, and in the age to come will receive eternal life." Yes, giving up control and giving him your heart is not easy, but it does have benefits that are over the top this side of God finally proposed. He said he wanted to be a part of God's plan in my life to restore the days of the locusts. It's been nearly 30 years of supporting each other in discerning what God wants us to do to follow Jesus. And with each step, whether it was pleasant or whether it was difficult, comes a blessing I never thought possible. We are still a work in progress. Well, what about you? Where is your heart? Some of you have followed Jesus for a long time and know the blessings of peace and joy that come in good times and in times of trouble. But maybe there's someone watching today who, like me, has held out. Someone to whom Jesus is saying, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Jesus loves you with all his heart, and he has already made the way for you to have eternal life and to have his help in this very present time. He wants you to open your heart so he can make the impossible possible. In closing, I invite you to pray a prayer with me to accept this great and free gift and to ask him to come into your heart. Would you please bow? Jesus, you know everything about me, and you know what it is that I want to hang on to that has prevented me from following you. I am sorry for my sins, and I accept your gracious forgiveness. I open my heart to you, and thank you for enabling me to serve you with joy. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus said all the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Please tell someone who is a follower of Jesus about your heart commitment. Call David at the number on the screen or leave a message for me. We would be honored to hear your life-changing news and to pray for you. May God's peace and joy be in your heart with you all, wherever you are in your walk of following Jesus. Amen.